We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the last week of May 2004, this is the Rain Report, available from both rainreport.com and via landline at 847-827-RAIN. That's 847-827-7246. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Note to our listeners, rainreport.com is being moved to a new server this week. As a result, you may experience occasional interruption of service. We thank you for your patience during this transition. This week, we bring you our second excerpt from the 2004 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum. William Cross, W3TN, works in the Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division of the FCC's Wireless Bureau, which is responsible for overseeing the U.S. amateur radio service. In this excerpt from Cross's forum presentation, he discusses broadband over power line, BPL, a technology some call the greatest threat to amateur radio since World War II.
This is an engineering and technology docket. Docket number 0347. Right now we're in kind of an interesting time with this because from a regulatory perspective, the comments have been filed already, but the reply comments are not in yet. And it's being handled by our Office of Engineering and Technology. I don't really see too much of this other than what's in the communications press, and I am going to tell you a little bit about that. In this docket, the Commission is proposing to amend Part 15 to adopt new requirements and measurement guidelines for a new type of carrier current system. It's called Access BPL that provides access to broadband services using electric utility companies' power lines. The Commission also is proposing to require that BPL systems and devices incorporate capabilities to mitigate harmful interference should it occur, to adopt administrative requirements to aid in the identification and resolution of harmful interference, and to clarify certain measurement guidelines for all types of carrier current systems. Now, these kinds of systems, carrier current systems, have existed previously. They've been around for a long time. Until recently, they operated generally on frequencies below 2 MHz and with relatively limited communications capabilities. The availability of faster digital processing capabilities and the development of sophisticated modulation schemes have produced new designs that can overcome the technical obstacles of the past. These new designs have led to the development of new BPL systems that couple RF energy onto existing electric power lines to provide high-speed communications capabilities. BPL systems may operate either inside a building, which is in-house BPL, or over utility poles and medium-voltage electric lines. This is the Access BPL. Electric utilities can use Access BPL systems, and they do, to monitor their electric power distribution operations. Most Access BPL systems today operate on frequencies up to 50 MHz with very low power signals spread over a broad range of frequencies. These frequencies are also used by licensed radio services that must be protected from harmful interference, as BPL systems operate on an unlicensed basis under Part 15 of the Commission's rules. There is significant disagreement regarding the interference potential of Access BPL. A number of parties contend that Access BPL proposes the potential for new interference to a variety of radio services. The ARRL contends that the potential interference is so severe as to warrant its exclusion from all bands allocated for amateur use. NTIA, the frequency manager for the United States government spectrum, also states that we must ensure that the federal government operations are adequately protected from unacceptable interference. There are over 18,000 federal government frequency assignments in the 1.7 to 80 megahertz spectrum range. Commenting parties representing other services also raise potential interference concerns. The proposal the Commission adopted is to define Access BPL for purposes of our rules, to maintain the existing Part 15 emission limits for Access BPL, and to require that Access BPL devices employ adaptive interference mitigation techniques. Also to require that Access BPL providers maintain a database of installation locations and technical informations, and to adopt specific measurement guidelines for both Access BPL and other carrier current systems to ensure that measurements are made in a consistent manner and provide for repeatable results in determining compliance with our rules. The details of the proposal are in paragraphs 32 to 47 of the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. Now, I checked the electronic comment filing system, our record-keeping system, at the Commission last Tuesday, and there were 1,182 comments in that docket. The reply comments are due June 1st. Obviously, there will be more in this record when it closes in early June. There has been a lot written about BPL and interference potential from this in the communications press. As I mentioned, it's being handled by the Office of Engineering and Technology, but just like you do, I have an interest in this. This would certainly affect me, too. And I was looking at the summary of some of these comments in the communications press. Boeing, the aerospace company, came in and was pretty well opposed to Access BPL as it would affect the aviation bands that are spread throughout the high-frequency spectrum. Of course, NTIA has another phase of its study it's going to complete, but it's looking after 81,000 allocations there. There was a comment that came in from the Public Safety Organization that pointed out that when you start talking about things as high as 80 megahertz, you're talking about low-band VHF, and that in many rural areas, police departments and other public safety organizations use low-band VHF. Still, their argument was that if BPL is deployed, you're not going to know if there's interference until after it occurs. And that's not going to be very helpful in a rural area if you have a public safety need, a police officer, fire companies, whatever, out there, and they can't either receive messages from or get messages back to their base. They had some concerns about that, too. I also can assure you that as a group, you have received quite a bit of attention. There's a fellow at the commission that is the chief of one of our other offices. I've known him for years. I got in the elevator with him one day, coming back up from the lunchrooms, and just briefly talked about it. And he said, well, what are you hearing about this? And I said, well, I hear from the amateurs. And he immediately just walked right into the back of the elevator. And I said, you know, I think they're kind of concerned about this.
You're listening to an excerpt from a 2004 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation by FCC official William Cross, W3TN, talking about BPL, broadband over power line technology. This is the RAN Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for RAIN audio.
There was another comment that came in from a power line carrier group. I think it's a trade association. And they were taking the other point of view. They said, wait a minute, you're proposing Access BPL that can be used for broadband services. Broadband services can also be provided now by cable companies. They can be provided by telephone companies. They can be provided by wireless access. They can be provided by others. And they're saying, we're talking about another technology platform here. If the rules as they're written now, where it requires that we maintain a database of installation locations and technical information, basically those rules require that we divulge the technical operation and location of the electric grid. And this raises all kinds of questions about security. It raises all kinds of questions about terrorism. We're another technology platform. You don't require this of the cable companies. You don't require this of the phone companies or the wireless broadband providers. So their argument was these rules would impose costs on them that are not imposed on other platforms. And they're saying that's not fair. We don't mind maintaining a database, but it sure as hell can't be public. Otherwise, the entire electric grid is at risk. Someone accesses this database off the network, and there's no telling what kind of mischief can be caused. When you think about it, there is something kind of to that argument about locations and, you know, what's there. It doesn't have anything to do with interference, but there is something to that argument about physical plant. So I'm sure that that will be passed along to the commissioners, too. They will make a decision in this. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be an attorney in OET. It's not going to be a branch chief. It's going to be the five commissioners. After they hear all the arguments pro and con and all of the arguments about what changes should be made to the rules to try and come up with a service, if it can be done, that will meet everyone's needs and desires. We also are aware of what has happened in foreign countries. Now, there's been a lot of that reported on the ARRL website. I was talking with a fellow at the RSGB booth yesterday who said that in England, they have just released a contract for British Telecom to put in broadband throughout the country. His observation was that now that British Telecom is going into the market and they're already there and they understand communications, which generally electric companies don't, there wasn't going to be a whole lot left over in Britain for the electric companies to go with. He also said that as far as BPL in Britain goes, the experience has been that when you're running on underground cables into buildings, that is something that technically can be done. But when you get into overhead wiring, because of the condition of the power grid, it's kind of like you can hold electric lines together kind of close with string and the electricity will work. Bzz, 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 okay? But communication signals won't. So that in Britain, they're having problems with overhead wiring. There's a big, you know, question about, you know, is it really a problem? Can we do it? Or can things be fixed so we can do it? But there's certainly experience there that's relevant to us. And I know that information will be passed along to the commission in looking at this. The commission ultimately will adopt rules. What they are, I have no idea. But they will make a decision, and there will be a report and order released. Then the game changes. It may be tied up in court for a while, as far as, you know, different parties filing suits and all that other stuff. We've been there before. But we then change completely to now we have a service with some set of final rules, kind of, and someone has to put up the money for this. BPL is not something you get at Best Buys. BPL is going to cost a gazillion dollars to put around the country. You have to put in repeaters, hardware, insulators, all kinds of stuff. It is going to be very expensive to deploy. The best statement I saw on this was from Dave Sumner, or at least I'll say that. I think it was from Dave. It was a good statement, so he can have it. The decision will be made in the corporate boardrooms. After this is adopted, and I'm sure something will be adopted with this, because it's already allowed. It's allowed under Part 15 now. They can do it under Part 15, and if they can do it under the current Part 15 rules, they can go right now. They have to go get the money. They have to find the funding to deploy all of the hardware and all the new stuff that would be necessary. That's a business decision. That's not a regulatory decision. That's a matter of going to Wall Street and saying, oh, yeah, there's AT&T Wireless, and there's Singular, and there's Verizon, and, yeah, there's all these cable companies that have merged into mega cable companies, and, yeah, there's all these wireless broadband providers, but, hey, we want lots of billions of dollars so we can do this with the electric grid. That's a decision Wall Street makes about is it profitable. And that's a decision that's made in corporation boardrooms of, do we want to get into this? Sometimes you think, what can we do as individuals about this? There have been some cities around the country, the hams have gone to the local government and said, this is a problem in the town. The town will say, no, the municipal system is not going to be used for that. We're not going to allow it. There's an awful long way to go between a notice of rulemaking and when something is provided commercially. And it's not going to be this fall. It's not going to be this winter. Getting something deployed financially is going to be a couple of years as a minimum to get it going on any kind of a scale, if it goes. The regulatory part of it is only the beginning. As far as where it comes out, as I said, the commission will make a decision. They are getting the information. It is running very strong on both sides. It's nothing that I have any particular insight into. And basically, I can't really answer any of the questions beyond what's in the notice. It didn't come out of the office I work in. It came out of our Office of Engineering and Technology. And I've shared with you what I've read in the communications press. So you know that there is kind of a balance. There's comments going both ways in the proceeding.
This has been part two of an excerpt from a 2004 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation by William Cross, W3TN, an employee in the Public Safety and Critical Infrastructure Division of the FCC's Wireless Bureau, which is responsible for overseeing the U.S. amateur radio service. The Rain Report is copyright 2004 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.